Naomi? Her name was Naomi? She never told me her real name. Where is she? Where'd she go? Where is she?
Naomi didn't make it out. The stadium. Things went wrong.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 109. Hello.
How's it going, Scott?
Groovy. How are you guys?
Good.
How's hot Atlanta?
Fantastic. It's getting hot.
It is starting to get warm now. Definitely.
Yeah, we're starting to get a little bit of it up here.
We had 1 week of spring and it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Summer's here.
Yeah. I just saw in the news they were saying we're going to have unusually high temperatures over the next 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not ready for all that right now.
No.
Actually, the worst part of it right now that's kind of messing with me is all the pollen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hanging around. I thought we were about done with it, but no, it's still kicking my ass.
It's dropping down for us. We're not as bad, but with the humidity starting to pick up.
But see, I like to wash that down with a nice cold beverage.
That's right. Nice cold beverage. What cold beverage are you drinking, Stu?
Well, we're drinking the same one. This is one that just got released. It is the Tropical Lover Berliner Weiss, which we know you do not like so much, Scott.
Exactly.
It's mango, passion fruit, and guava from Sweetwater Brewery. And Kim, what do you think?
At first, I did not like it on the first swig. Now it's starting to grow on me, but I don't think I could drink that many of them.
It is super sweet.
Yeah,
it is. And sour.
And sour.
Yeah, I actually like it. It's actually very good. And everybody's coming out with these now. And again, summer coming, spring getting hot, so they're coming out with all these sweet, sour beers.
So you say that's got what does it have in it? You said passion fruit and
mango and guava.
Mango and guava. Yeah, you know, it's funny because a lot of the different hops mimic some of those different fruits, and I think that's why people are starting to add them a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
On the can, it says a couple more rocks in the hammock.
Yes,
that's gross.
Why is that?
What?
Because that's where the fish mate, is the hammock.
I'm thinking a hammock is like a banana hammock.
Oh.
Right?
No, I don't think so.
That's where my mind went.
It is the catch and release seasonal. So what are you drinking, Scott?
I'm just so shocked right now. drinking? No, I'm
the
really
banana
not.
Banana hammock.
Not
there
at
is
all.
No banana in this beer.
No, yeah. Thank God. Go ahead.
Wonderful. I'm drinking a beer from Epic Brewing, and
it better be damn good.
It's Epic. Let me get back to about where it is from. It's their New England style India Pale Ale, and it is delicious. It says praise the haze. I don't know about you guys, but I am really loving these New England style IPAs. They're from Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Epic Brewing.
The cloudy IPAs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, they're good. Well, the New England IPAs are smoother. They don't have quite as much of the bite to them that the West Coast ones have. They're more like an actual English IPA. The American IPAs really took the hoppy bite and accentuated it when we started making them over here. But the English ones
like
are a little
bite.
Bit... I like the bite, too. Don't get me wrong. I like the crispness, but... The New England ones are kind of dialing it back a little bit.
Yeah, I like both, but I like the Portland West Coast ones the best, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to remind our listeners that if you have your own beer or beverage of choice that you want to share with us, you can either write to us about it or you can record your voice on the recording app on your phone and email it to us, and then we can play it right here on the podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, tonight we are going to talk about Fear the Walking Dead. Season 4, Episode 4, Buried. What did you think about it, Stuart?
Well, okay, this one, last week was shocking. And we're all like, okay, oh my God, I can't believe Nick is dead now.
Right.
And this week was, what the hell is going on? Who died? because they keep it was a bit confusing as to who is dead. I mean, yes, Nick is dead, but is Madison dead? Is Naomi dead?
Yeah, she really.
I mean, our new character, and can they do that already?
You mean
sure
Laura?
Sure, they can. Yeah, Laura.
Yeah, Laura, Naomi. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, it was the whole and also just on top of that with the time jumps back and forth and back and forth. Yes, you know, we've got clues to that with the with how they're filming it as far as high saturate or, you know, like regular color or desaturated film, that sort of. But it was kind of getting confusing to me as to what was going on and what time and place we were at, even watching it twice. So to me, this one was not as successful as some of the other ones, although I enjoyed it. It was just there was just more questions as to what was going on. And I really kind of want to know what the hell's going on back at the baseball field. So, okay, maybe it worked. Maybe it, you know, I'm still, you know, very inquisitive as to
you know,
what's
I agree
going
with
on,
you, but... Stu. I agree with you. I mean, I felt like they were just building, they were building more upon the, well, they were showing us more and more that we really don't know what happened at the baseball stadium. There could be all kinds of things that went down there. They're definitely shaking our confidence in what our theories are and so forth. But
yes,
but I still hold true to some of the things I was thinking, but you're right. I think they're doing that, you know, just to mess with us a little bit, you know, because I mean, you know, is Madison alive? Is Madison dead? You know, stuff like who's Laura, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that they're kind of jumping back and forth on that just to give us a hard time. I thought it in general, though, it was a good episode. It was definitely put in there to contribute more to the mystery and so forth. And, you know, if there's going to be a lot to see how it shakes out. I don't know if maybe they overplayed the day of decision.
Yeah.
A little bit on this one.
Agreed.
You know, they kind of made too much of it of one particular day and how that went. But there were some interesting factors to it.
Well, I think the thing that was weird to me was that once someone stated that, oh, well, that was the time that things went wrong, there was like five other times where things went wrong. They kept like moving it like along. Well, that was, I shouldn't have opened that book. Oh, well, we shouldn't have, you know,
we shouldn't have gone in
that
store. That's right.
Yeah, we should. It was like.
I disagree with both of you.
What?
Bring it.
I think it was one of the better episodes, probably number two after the premiere episode for the season in my books. And I like the way they did the back and forth with everybody. I think it added mystery to it. I think it added a little bit of suspense. I love that they revealed two little snippets of information to us, but we have a lot more to learn. And I love the way the filming style with Althea, filming them with a handheld camera.
Yes.
And it seems more personal when you're getting the information out of the people that she's talking to. The only weird part about it is like, are they all talking at the same time or is she filming them separately?
Yeah.
They're all sitting in the same spot, obviously, so it seems like they would be filmed at the same time.
I think they were all being filmed at the same time. The conversation was just jumping back and forth.
But I like the way that they talked about how each little moment in time during that day was a bad decision. And not because they decided to abandon the baseball stadium, but rather because they decided to stay and fight for the stadium.
Right.
And it all had a domino effect, and it's still dominoing with the death of Nick. We don't know if that's going to be the end point, and I have a feeling it won't be.
No.
But I think the dominoes are going to continue to fall, and eventually we know we'll find out what happened to Laura / Naomi and Madison. And I have my theories about what's going on with the two of them. But I keep going back and forth. I'm not totally convinced yet. But yeah, I like the whole thing. I like the way they did it.
There's one thing when you were talking about the using the camera and so forth like they did, the news camera.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic the way they showed Nick and Ennis dispatched at the beginning. Like it was Al just watching them through the camera.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that really, like you said, that made it seem more personal.
Yeah.
and very, very dramatic footage, the way they were shooting that. But I agree with you, Kim. I mean, there's a lot to the episode to like. And, you know, when I say, you know, that I didn't like that it was all in one day, I mean, I thought that they maybe, you know, I thought they would be better if they let the audience kind of draw their own conclusion about how bad that one, the decisions of that one day became, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, holding our hand and walking us through it. Yeah, I guess is what I'm saying.
But walking us through it and then giving us different scenarios. Right.
But almost everybody says, you know, well, that was the wrong day, or that was the wrong decision, you know, that, for that one day. And I'm kind of like, okay, well, let me kind of draw that conclusion myself, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and I like the way they did it, though, because some of those decisions had subtle effects on the rest of the storyline. You know, just because they opened the map to a uh-huh. certain page, like, and they decided to go get supplies instead of actually moving to wherever that map said.
Right.
You know, that might not be something that I would pick up on later on in the series, the season, if they had presented it that way.
Well, there's something special about that place, whatever it is. So I think once we find out whatever that is. Yeah, I have
my theories about that, too.
What do you think? It's a farming community or
I do. Yeah, I do. I think it's like some sort of factory.
Commercial farm?
Yeah, commercial farm. There you go. Like,
wait, which place? What are you talking about?
The one that they noticed on the map. They said they were going to go get seeds. Because one of my questions was, when
they pointed it out and there was like no question, Madison was like, oh yeah, we'll go there in a day.
Yeah, because my question was, how do they know that place is going to have whatever it is they need? And they're just going to go there in one day and get everything and everything is going to be fine. And then I started thinking about it and I'm like, the only way they could do that is if they go to a place that's specific to whatever their needs are.
It's a Monsanto factory.
It might be.
Could be. Could be. Or Tyson chicken. No. But, you know, yeah, because they knew that wherever that site is, it would have seed and fertilizer and things like that. So,
right.
I mean, exactly. I'm assuming it's either, you know, a silo storage place or it's a commercial farm or something like that.
Mm. Like a huge Lowe's center.
Well, those places, though, but you know, those places would probably be picked clean.
Yeah, so any big box stores are going to be, everybody's going to be stealing all the TVs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like a Home Depot right next to a Lowe's.
There's no electricity, but people are still stealing the TVs. I think one of the things that bothered me, and it probably just from a personal want to know level, mm-hmm. was the fact that when they're talking about why everything was a bad decision, I couldn't tell if they were talking about, was it a bad decision because Nick died, or was it a bad decision because the diamond fell?
It's because the stadium fell.
Yeah, it's because everything went to shit.
I know, but they kept presenting it as Nick. Or, you know, it was like, okay, so they let Madison stay there, and they let Madison defend the place. So was that wrong because then Nick died, because Nick went out and searched because he was going to get seeds to bring back to the place, or was it because the place fell?
You know, I wonder, I don't know, maybe we'll get more clarity.
Did it kill
Nick,
or did it kill everybody else?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I guess that's the thing that was bothering me.
I'm wondering if they were on the run, but when Nick got killed, that made them decide to go back. And that would be the pivotal decision that Nick would cause.
I mean,
I still feel like they are out getting supplies for everybody back at the diamond.
The missing piece of information that we don't have is where does the present time fit into the storyline?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know if we are way far in the future or if we're still in baseball diamond scenario situation.
We're not that far into the future. I mean, I can guarantee you that because of the fact that they ran into Ennis in his car, and it wasn't like
let me clarify. We don't know if we are.
Right. It wasn't like he was
past
surprised
where the thing fell, or if we are on our run. Okay,
you don't have to raise your voice.
Well, just saying. That's what I do.
You can still get your point across. Don't have to raise your voice.
I don't think it's very far in the future. And matter of fact, I think they're still struggling with whatever the aftermath was. At the diamond, because they were, you know, they're pretty rough shape.
See, I still feel like they're trying to get to the heart of who these people are. I mean, they're trying to figure out you know, what's with the numbers and, you know, why are they leaving them everywhere and what clues they might... Well, no,
I think they know that now. They know that after they saw the walkers being walked into the trailer and then they put the number on the side of it.
Well, then why are they saying, where is this? Why are they saying, why you know, where is this coming
from? Because they want to know where they are. They want to kill them.
So they've taken off at this point. So the baseball stadium has been depleted.
Yeah.
Or people have been killed, whatnot. And so they are trying to track them down. That's it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they, you know, they gave us a clue when, you know, when they opened the cache of weapons and Strand talked about the note that they took off of Anus, or the map that shows.
You gotta stop calling him Anus.
I'm going to call him Anus. He was an ass. He was an ass. But the map, which told them that everybody had distributed themselves all over the place, but they were going to meet up somewhere. So that's why they
read the piece of paper that he was talking about, right, which so, didn't seem to have anything on it, did it? Did we see anything that was even on it?
It was folded.
Yeah, he was like, "Whoa, we've got that." This. Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird little scene because they start getting pissed off at him, saying that they hoodwinked him, they tricked him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they were just going for the guns. That was the only reason they got him. So I didn't really snookered. Pick up his. I didn't pick up as what was really going on there and why they were so pissed off. Because even John was like, you know, oh, well, see, I had a good story. Just follow my story. Stop following these guys.
Right. Exactly. Come help me with Laura. They were trying to find their cache of weapons so that they could go back and deal with the vultures. And they had their, because of that map they got off of Anus.
Sorry.
After they got Enos's map, then they knew where the vultures are going to meet up again, and they're going to meet them there. And they're going to ride in on a badass SWAT vehicle. That'll be interesting. I think I think those guns will be roaring.
Do you think they didn't take that machine gun back with them, did they?
The one that they found in the tower?
At the water park?
Or they just took the...
Yeah, she just got the sleeve. The barrel sleeve. Yeah, she was using that as a weapon later on.
Which was cool. When I saw her pull that off, I was like, that's where she got it from. Because looked when they first, the three, Al, Morgan, and John, were first...
Accosted,
by them in the middle of the road, I noticed she pulled that weird sharpened knife out.
Yeah, I never noticed that.
And I was like, oh, what the hell? That looks like a part of a gun, but why is she using it as a sword?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, too. So we got to find out a little bit. Still don't know why she used that for part of a sword. Yeah. But
well, you know, speaking of that sort of stuff, I did like the individual storylines that they did with each of our characters. I really liked getting to know Strand a little bit more with his relationship with Cole.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that got me, though, is we already know that Strand is battling with his demons and trying to not go back to the person that he was. And he has his little rock that he's revealed in a couple of episodes ago. But obviously...
He is that guy.
He's still doing it.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, where's the struggle? There's no struggle here. He's already doing
it.
Yeah, his struggle is that he's just not... letting anybody know like he never did before.
Yeah, right. He's like not owning it anymore. It's like it's still a lie that he's telling to himself and to everybody else at the stadium that he's a changed man. Bullshit.
Right.
He's not a changed man.
Yeah, that was my thinking too. I was kind of like, okay, so he states he doesn't want to be that guy because he specifically said that. I don't want to be that guy. But he's admitting to Cole that he is that guy still.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm out for myself.
And then he goes back to the stadium with all the supplies.
Right.
Which was good. That's fine. Yeah. But then he doesn't tell anybody.
When you look at syrup, you go back to the stadium.
Exactly. I thought he was going to look at the rock. I thought the rock was going to be the thing that, like,
no. Said, yeah.
No, he knew they needed more syrup for their pancakes.
Yeah.
For their cow feed pancakes.
Their cow patties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he goes all the way back with that stuff, and then he doesn't even admit to being wrong.
I know.
At that point.
Well,
and Cole didn't say anything that we know of.
Right. I thought the first time I watched it, I saw Cole kind of smile a little bit, but then the second time I watched it,
He's disappointed. Yeah, he was disappointed.
I didn't know what to make of that last scene, tell you the truth.
But you know what, though? I loved Cole's reaction when he found out what Strand was up to.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And that he was the one that was totally infatuated with Strand, and Strand would not give him the time of day. But when it came down to it, Cole stuck to his guns. He stuck to his morals, I guess, and was like, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah, he said, I can't do that.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do it.
You know, one thing I could not quite figure out is they're going out on a run to look for stuff like that. And then, you know, they get caught in the
walkers.
Yeah, the walkers in the plant house.
Greenhouse.
Thank you. Jesus.
Yes.
They get caught in the greenhouse with the walkers, and Cole doesn't have a weapon. I mean,
he's like,
whoa, where can I find something to fight with? I'm like, what the hell, dude?
Thought we were just having a conversation. I didn't realize there were going to be dead people around here.
He probably thought they were going to get it on in the greenhouse.
Whatever it was.
He only needed
anybody who's been surviving out there would know to have some kind of a weapon with him.
Yeah. I did have to, when he got taken down by that one walker and had all the quill or the spines in him.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I was wondering, I was like, so does that mean he's going to turn a walker now?
Yeah, he's going to turn a walker because walker blood
dripped into that. That shit's all out the window.
You never know. You have no idea what's going to happen. But the funniest thing was when, was it Cole or Strand was like, those pricks.
No, that really wasn't that funny.
That was actually a bad one.
But yeah, the whole quill thing. Well, okay, so here's my theory on the quills. The opposite end was sticking into the walker that got poked into.
Yeah, but he had blood all over his shirt and stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a penetrating wound.
Oh.
Okie dokie.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I got you.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And
well, yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, that's the thing is like, well, again, like you said, it's out the window. I mean, you can't argue it anymore. You can't argue it anymore.
Right.
I mean, and it's a different show.
So what?
Yeah.
Same world.
Same universe.
It is same world.
Same rules got to apply. Different
they
really names.
Do. And if they don't, bad news bears.
Then I have a problem with this.
I would too.
Whole totally. Situation.
So Nick and Luciana at the library loved the librarian Walker.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you think he looked like
sad.
Stephen King?
No.
I did. I thought he
Stephen
looked like
King.
Long-haired Stephen King in, what's the one?
Pet Sematary?
No. The comic book one. Creepshow.
Creepshow. Okay.
Yeah.
No, Kim, I didn't see that. I thought he was a sad character.
He was a very sad character. Which is why I thought of Stephen King with the one where the alien moss grows
right.
over him and he has to shoot himself in the head as a farmer.
Right.
Remember that one?
I love the hang in there poster with the kitten hanging on the rope.
It was the first thing Nick went for.
That Nick went and rolled up to take with him.
I thought that was hilarious. You really loved that poster?
He really did.
Really?
He was like, ooh, write that down on the notes.
I hate that poster.
I know, it's like the worst poster ever.
I should get that for you for your birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Get it framed in a really expensive frame.
I want like a whole wall mural of hanging there.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Yeah. Just right before I leave the house, I see it every day.
Is that a solid silver beveled frame for that hang in there poster you've got on the wall?
Yeah.
Did you notice the Red Mist book that was on the floor when the librarian got killed? I thought that was very interesting placement because that book takes place in Georgia.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
So, because I was trying to figure out, like, what's the correlation? Why did they make that book so prominent?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Patricia Cornwall book, and it's the main character goes to a women's prison in Georgia. Yes, I looked it up.
Yeah, I don't think Patricia Cornwell's written one of her books in years.
Isn't she dead now?
No, she just doesn't write her own books.
Oh. Well, anyways, it's a throwback to Georgia, I guess. And, of course, the first thing I thought of was The Mist. It looked like Stephen King. I was like, oh, so many things happening there.
I think you were reaching on that one.
Mm. Well.
So, churros.
Churros. Yes, churros at the water park.
This is my favorite storyline of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
They had some cool scenes in there.
They had very cool scenes.
Although I have to say, they were very confident walking through that water park with all the dead walking around. Which, hey, it's the argument we always say. You know, they're not going to catch up to you.
I thought that the special effects team did a fantastic job throughout all that with the algae and all that stuff until you got to the big barrel. The big barrel thing that they swung into.
Big funnel.
That was so obviously painted.
Yeah.
It looked terrible.
Yeah.
The algae did?
Yes. Oh my God, it was pitiful.
It was just like sponge painted algae all over the place. Yeah.
Well, isn't terrible. That supposed to be like it leads down into another tunnel?
Yeah, but you're thinking it's got to be plugged with other dead. Yeah.
Do you think so? Oh, well, I mean, they were standing pretty well.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the fake algae they were trying to put on there just was so bad. It was so pitiful.
Yeah. Okay, other than that, great scenes and scary scenes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have one more bone to pick. The walkers that were in the kiddie pool at the end of the, at the bottom of the slide.
Yeah, and before they get on the slide.
A huge span of stairs right there. Mm-hmm. They could not walk out of those stairs.
Right. And the fact that they went into the pool instead of walking along the coping on the side to get to the slide, which is kind of weird.
Unnecessary danger.
And the water was pretty damn clean for a bunch of decaying bodies to be hanging out in it.
True.
For a long time.
Yes.
True. But.
Other than that.
Genius.
And they didn't get any churros the entire time they were there.
No churros.
That was
the
thing I had a problem with. I mean, there was no churros there. There was no relish at the stadium.
No nacho cheese.
Oh, that was weird. Yeah, Madison, she could at least come out. She's like, oh, we could scrape up some packs of relish in the stadium. Well, why the hell didn't you do that before you came out? You guys making hot dogs.
He doesn't deserve it. And hot dogs from a can. Gross.
All right, we're jumping around. We're jumping around. Let's get back to the water slide. All right.
You're way too excited about carny food.
Yeah, I know. So ingenious that whoever was staying at the water park
took the high ground,
moved up to the top part, which was huge when they got up there. Mm-hmm. Lots of space.
But you can only survive up there so long without if you don't have a bunch of food.
Well, I had a few questions about it. Like, first of all, I'm surprised they didn't put like some sort of abrasive material on the entry point to the slide so they didn't accidentally fall down in the middle of the night. You know, it could happen. Secondly,
they were drinkers. How do
they, like grip tape.
How do they get down so fast? Well, like Naomi, she booked it down to the car when she bailed on Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
She got down there pretty fast. I doubt that she went down the slide. Because that was too dangerous.
I would have gone down the slide.
At least that's what I'm thinking.
I probably would have gone down the slide.
But how did the other people who actually lived there move back and forth if they had barricaded the stairs and, you know,
all
that
stuff? Obviously didn't work out too well for them.
I don't think they did, Kim. That's why they were still there. They were dead.
Oh, good point. Okay.
Yeah. So they weren't, they were trapped up there.
They had supplies and then somehow died.
But Kim, you do bring up a good point, though. They were trapped up there, so how did Naomi get out of there so fast once she faked out Alicia with the binoculars?
It was a bit of suspension of disbelief there.
Mm-hmm. She had a parachute. That's what it was. She had a parachute in her bag. She's a skydiver and a nurse. Nursing skydiver.
But yeah, I just really like the whole imagery of that scenario. It was a really nice scene, nice setup.
Yeah, I mean, the humor of the location made that a very good scene. And you know, hanging out at a water park, who would have thunk it?
Especially when she said, "That's worse than Band-Aids in the water."
Oh yeah,
that was a good line.
You know, the part too when Naomi gets in the car and starts to take off, and then the car dies, and Alicia just very calmly walks up to her and she's like, that's the second or third time that you've tried to take off on me since I've met you. You're either in it or you're not.
Right.
And I think that kind of speaks to the entire episode, that everybody, all the characters, they made all these decisions and they could have fled. They could have given up on everything, but they decided to stick around and they decided to fight for their home and to fight for each other. And I think that was kind of like the pool that kept them all together. Like, you know, they've been together this whole time too.
Right. And that's kind of what, what's his name? The leader of the vultures.
I can never remember his name. Mm.
Doesn't matter. That guy sucks.
Anyway, he what he was saying to her is, you know, it's a little dangerous sending people out on these runs because they may not come back. Mm-hmm. And every one of the people she sent out on that thought seriously about not coming back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Except for Nick. Nick was the only one who, well, Nick and Cole, I should say. I think even Alicia at one point probably was thinking, I could just leave. Because especially she didn't jump on Naomi when Naomi said, you really need to talk to your mom about mm-hmm. getting the hell out of there.
And they all admit it in the SWAT vehicle when they're being interviewed that they all at one point thought about giving up on this.
Yeah.
But Nick, on the other hand, though, he was, you know, he was happy with the solution that they came up with because it kept them in the stadium. And that's why he was smiling with Lucy at the end there.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically Nick's fault that they stayed.
Yeah.
Because he found a solution to their problem.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what that was about. We still got to find out what that whole situation is. Just because there's a farm somewhere out there doesn't mean that's a solution of where you can go.
No, but in his mind it is. And he convinces Madison to explore that possibility, which means they're going to be staying.
Well, his mind is that there's supplies out there.
Right. That's his mind. That's what Kim's saying is that he, I mean, he has given a reason for the fact that they can actually stay there.
There's hope.
And revive mm-hmm. the place, mm-hmm. you know, to reform.
Right. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Reform at the mm-hmm. baseball station mm-hmm. or yes. stadium. Station. Yes. Stadium. Mm-hmm.
So I think if it hadn't been for him and that map, yeah, that was the crux of it all right there.
Yep. So let me ask you this. Did you, either one of you figure John to be a cop?
No,
not at all.
Hmm.
He's too soft-spoken, but I will say that if he is a cop, he's got to be.
When I heard he was a cop, though, I was like, oh, okay, good, that makes sense. I didn't think that he'd be a cop. Like, I never guessed that mm-hmm. that's what he had been, but I was like, okay, that works.
Yeah, but I'm thinking he has to be like a small town cop.
Yes, totally.
Like, oh, he
like
definitely
Rick's
was.
Small town cop.
You guys do not give this guy credit. Poor guy.
No, I totally give him credit, but. You know, he's simple folk.
He's too simple.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess, Stu, if that's the case, then I would have to go the other direction, which I'm not really wanting to go, which is that maybe the yuck, hokey stuff that they're doing is a little bit overdone, too. That, you know, no one's that simple. Who's had anything? But let me ask you this. Okay, so we discover.
Well, depending on how long they've been alone, and he is coming from a small town. He's more secluded, less outside influence.
We find out, you know, we get the revelation that Naomi is Laura. Do you think there's a possibility that John is a problem?
Oh, like she got away from him?
Right. That she had to escape from him.
I did think that. Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I mean, he's pretty obsessed with her.
But at the same time, she's trying to be away from other people. She's kind of like Morgan in that
way.
But
she also never told him her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she made that decision before she ever really got to know him, right?
Think about it, though. A woman on her own, surviving in these times, runs up on a guy by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you feel necessarily comfortable with, especially Mr. Weird Small Town Guy?
But at this point in age... You know, in the age, why would you have to lie about your name? It's not like he can Google you or anything.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Probably just not wanting to share anything about yourself. I mean, she's ready to jump out on them at moment's notice.
That's true.
So I think that's kind of her MO. That's kind of what she does. She comes in and sees what she can take advantage of, possibly. I mean, I don't think she wants to be around people.
Well, based on the scenes you get for next week... It's obviously he finds her as badly injured and revives her.
Yeah.
So she had to be around him for a long time, and he had to, I would imagine, build up some trust.
Yeah.
But maybe he is a whack job. Maybe he's a whack job, and she escaped from him.
He's a little pushy. I mean, when Morgan tried to get away, he was right behind him.
He was a stalker.
Well, you know.
He did not just let him go.
When, in the scenes from next week, he also sounds a little different. He sounds more sure of himself. Hmm. And his cadence seems different when he's talking.
I mean, I hope we don't find out he's some psycho.
That would
I
suck.
I hope not, too, because I really like his him.
Character, but...
I don't think so.
I don't know, Stu. So. I'm not so sure. Or we may find out that actually Naomi's a psycho.
Well, either way. Well, do you think Naomi is actually dead?
I do not.
I don't either. Just simply because of the way Alicia said that she was dead. She kind of, like, didn't even skip a beat when he asked, where is she? And she just automatically said she's dead.
To me, it seemed like when they were breaking that news to him, it seemed like they were doing it simply to keep him on task.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that it was any truth to it. It was like, we're not going to worry about that now. Just keep moving forward. We got to go where we're going. You know,
and there was no sympathy and no remorse on Alicia's part either. Yeah.
No, especially not on Strand's part. Strand was almost making fun of him. Mm-hmm. Because Lucy had to tell him to shut up. Yeah, I mean, but Lucy was very definitive that she didn't make it out alive. That's how she put it. So I don't know.
She said what did she say? She said things were bad there or something like
that. Yeah, but she says she didn't make it out. Yeah, but she said she didn't make it out alive.
But then Alicia came up and was like, "Yeah, she died."
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she kind of backed it up. Was like, "Well, yeah, she's dead." like, unless we didn't make it clear, like, she's
But even after that, Lucy said she didn't make it out alive. Very, very specifically.
So, here's what I think. And this, I'm still not 100% on this, but I think that Madison and Naomi are somewhere together. Mm-hmm. And I think they're both still alive, and possibly with the vultures, and whenever they find the vultures, they're going to find the two of them.
So it's like the farm. People scattered.
Possibly, but it's also possible that the vultures took them, or somehow they sacrificed themselves and went with them.
The vultures dispersed by design. I mean, that's their MO, is they break up and then they meet up at another place. That's what they were saying.
Yeah, but they waited out the stadium.
Mm-hmm. That was that's what I mean. Goal. But then they set up a time and a date to meet at another location, and then that's where they meet up. But they don't stay mm-hmm. together.
Right.
That's what they were saying. So, I think Naomi is still alive, but I don't know if she's with them. I still kind of think Madison's dead. I don't know. I haven't seen enough indication to lead me to think otherwise.
Well, that's why I'm not 100% sure that she's alive. Like, I want her to be alive, and I don't know.
I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think either of them are dead. I don't know why they would build up Naomi so much in this and then be like, you know, you actually don't see her in real time more than like half an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Everything would just be in the past at that point. It's just like remembrances of this character.
Right.
That you only saw for a half an hour in real time.
Right.
Yeah. Seems weird.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I do know that on all the posters they showed of this season, there was three main characters on the poster, and it was Morgan, Madison, and Nick. Well, we know Nick's dead, and we're led to believe that Madison's probably dead.
Are you trying to say
dead.
The other two are going to die?
Could be.
Who knows? Morgan's going to die, too. I did like, back to, okay, is John weird or not? I liked his conversation with Morgan when they're in the front cab.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
When all the interviews are going on behind them.
Right.
And he's like, Morgan, I hope you stay because I want you to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is like, he just seems so genuine. That's why I don't want him to be crazy.
I don't want him to be either.
I like him so much. It would break my heart. I like his character.
It would be like Bill Cosby. You know, he was such an awesome guy when we were growing up. You wanted to be his kid, and now you're like, stay the hell away from me, man.
How about those pudding pops?
Yeah. Such a disappointment.
You had to go there.
I did. Sorry. Yeah, that would be a small betrayal that we wouldn't be happy about, I'm sure.
And the scene where he does find out that the name is
where he finds the gun.
Yeah, he finds the gun. Man, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. That was a good scene. Even I think like I started out the podcast with. Voice of that one when he's asking about who she was and stuff and
mm-hmm.
man just mm-hmm. listening to it like
yeah
I was happy that I was actually really happy that Laura was not just a gun.
Me too.
Yeah, that's true.
That Laura was an actual person. So
I'm happy that, you know, we don't even know what really happened between the two of them yet, but I feel happy that he had somebody in his life to spend a little bit of time with during that long period of being alone and not talking.
Yeah, she's definitely got some issues, though.
Well,
yeah.
One of them does.
No, she has serious trust issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they actually had intentions of burying Nick where they actually did bury him? Because it sounded like it was very offhandedly like, oh, yeah, we'll just bury him.
I think their anger was leading them at that point. But they were going to bury Nick, definitely. But I think their anger was the first priority.
I like that Morgan was the only sensible one in that, mm-hmm. and kind of pointed out, like, are you going to bury him? And they're like, yeah, we'll bury him. I guess we'll bury him here. And he's like, well, didn't you say you like to grow stuff?
Yeah, but the terrible thing is, though, what ran through my head is, oh, yeah, let's bury him under the tree where all the roots are, and it takes us, like, 2 days to dig a damn hole. I've dug too many holes around the trees in my yard.
That's a nightmare. I thought it was a lovely resting place.
It was a very lovely resting place. Actually, I have no idea if it was a lovely resting place. It was at night. Who knows?
Yeah, it was kind of dark.
Could have
been next
to
a dump for all we know.
Hung over that one section.
But yes. Again, like during that whole process of them digging the hole and burying him, Morgan's the only one that seems solemn. He's the only one that seems like he really gave a damn. Because they kind of went up, they looked,
well, Lucy,
and then they walked
Lucy
away real
did.
Quick, and he actually, like...
Yeah, Lucy knelt down to so forth. She was feeling it. No, Alicia's just super, super pissed. And Strand is somewhat, you know, he's really pissed off and somewhat able to keep himself above stuff like that.
He's like, I'm glad that Morgan guy was here to dig the hole.
Mm-hmm. Except Morgan didn't participate in that.
No, I don't think... Well, he's injured.
Oh, stop crying already, will you, Morgan? Jeez Louise.
Gets shot in the leg.
Yeah, everybody gets shot in the leg.
He already dug. He's. I mean, during this season, he's already dug one hole.
Have you ever been shot in the leg, Stuart?
No, I haven't.
All right, well, then you don't need to talk about it. All
I've
right?
had a really bad Charlie horse one time.
Oh, that's, yeah, me too.
Those are bad.
Yeah,
you're right. Awful. Man, if it's anything like a gunshot wound.
Makes you want to chop your leg off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I injured Kim during that one. Charlie Horse of 2013.
Anyway, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we'll run through some hits and misses. Gonna get some hits. I need those hits. I need those hits. Hit me. It's time to take a look at some hits or misses of this episode. Kim, you want to walk us out on this one?
Yep. The hit for this episode is the water park. The water park is probably my favorite scenario, my favorite scenery for the season so far. Maybe even the whole series of Fear. I think it was with the lighting or the filters that they used, but also just... hard for me to put this into words. Like just how big the water park is, the slides and the twisty, turvy, just
well, such a humorous and joyous image in such a horrible scene. Right.
Thank you. It's like the dichotomy of like happiness and kids laughing and playing and having fun.
And it's all grimy.
And it's like filthy
with bodies laying around.
Walkers.
And
yeah.
They've got
dead
the dolphin. Measuring thing that says you must be this high.
Yeah, right. They're using it as a board for a like supposedly like a wall for a little dwelling, I guess.
Yeah.
Just the stark contrast of life versus death and happiness versus sadness.
Well, it's a true image of how society has been destroyed.
Right, right. But also just that they use the slides as a means of transportation, of transporting themselves up into that dwelling at the top and then seeing them slide back down and how difficult it was. Like, I'm so glad they made them slide back down. If they had walked all the way up without having any sort of incident, I would have been pissed. But but I just like the whole meaning of everything.
Tim, you know, I got to say, I think one of the things they did by having them go up the slides like that is because every one of us has wanted to do that one time.
This is true.
We wanted true. To go up the slide backwards.
My kids do it every time.
And there's no one there to yell at them.
Yes. Yes.
Except there might be death at the bottom.
Other kids are trying to go down the slide. You can't keep walking up.
Yeah. So that's my hit.
All right, Stuart.
My hit actually was Nick going to the library and to get books. Because he said that they need something more than food. You know, it's not all about trying to go out and find food all the time. People need other things to survive.
Yes, that's very true. I thought
that was a good little aside.
Mm-hmm. Keep society together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You got to feed not just food, but with the mind. Well, I tell you what, my hit was a couple of zombies they had in this episode. Of course, we already stated I love the librarian zombie. That was great. Another one I liked a lot was it was the second zombie they ran into in the water park. The first one came stumbling out around the corner, and then the second one comes out there, and half of his face has been eaten off.
Yes.
You could see it. I thought, oh, my God, that is so cool, the way he looked. Because most of his face was still pretty good shape. Just half of it was gone.
Yeah.
Well, actually, most of the zombies around there, I think right after that, there was another one they showed that was kind of hanging like half in the pool a little bit.
Yeah.
And they just kind of looked deflated, you know, like a dead body probably would, you know.
Well, this guy looked like he was still relatively fresh.
Burned almost. He looked like half of his face was burned.
It was just pulled off. And because you could see all the muscle and everything underneath it. Anyway, I thought that was a really cool zombie.
And he was also one of the few that didn't look like he just ate all his lips off.
Exactly.
Like normally they just like show the teeth. And he didn't have that.
I also love the fact that he sang. I think that was an important part.
He put the top hat on.
Yeah, I'm not big on the Beach Boys music, but I still like the fact that he could sing.
There was a zombie in the pool area who still had his glasses on. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah, walking
around the pool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, he had black glasses on.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
That was pretty funny. And then the one in the... what is it called? The whirlpool thing?
Yeah, the barrel thing.
I was calling it the funnel.
Yeah, the funnel. He kind of reminds... This is the one that fell down the slide from the top after them.
Oh, yeah.
One of the people in the parapet right there.
He kind of looked like Kurt Cobain to me. He had the striped sweater and long stringy hair.
He was a skinny zombie.
He was a very skinny zombie.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think I noticed any of the zombies down there because that paint job was so bad.
The algae paint job. Me.
There's your miss. That's your miss.
There's a miss.
That is a miss. Kim, how about a miss?
My miss is hot dogs in a can.
Mm.
First of all, I've never seen hot dogs that big from a can. Like Vienna sausages, those are tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like a 4-ounce can that those things come out of. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking those don't taste very good.
They may not taste good, but if you don't have any hot dogs for a long time.
Vienna sausages are pretty good.
I just remember when I was a kid growing up.
They were pretty good when I had them.
My grandpa made me eat Vienna sausages all the time, and he used to eat a can of anchovies while I was doing it.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Think how often those people are eating meat, though. It's not very often. You grill up some, I don't care what kind of skank hot dogs there, you're grilling up something like that, that'll make your mouth water.
I was going to say, I'm sure that Madison's mouth was watering.
I'd be eating the hell out of that.
Oh, hell yeah.
It still sounds gross to me.
Oh, it is. But you know what? They've done a lot grosser.
Like cattle feed burgers. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Stewie, what's your miss?
My miss was the interviews in the truck.
Really?
Kim kind of touched on that a little bit. It was just, the delivery of it was really weird to me. Because it definitely seemed like... Okay, if they were doing their interviews alone, it would have played a lot better. The delivery would have been a lot better. But since they're doing it all at the same time, Mm-hmm. The fact that they just did like the sequence of they killed my brother, they killed my boyfriend, they killed my friend.
Right.
Yeah, and it was just like, it just kind of was a little cheesy. Because I don't think people would actually talk like that next to each other.
I definitely thought, Stu, I got to agree. I mean, I definitely thought Lucy really did a shitty acting job for that. Way over the top on the acting.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. And the fact that they seemed pissed off at Al for interviewing, but yet they kept pushing the fact that they were going to do the interview was weird to me. And because she was like, we don't need to do this to each and every one of them. And they're like, no, we're going to keep doing this. You jerk.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to get my story out, ass.
Yeah. And then like what Strand says, well, you think you know everything. It's like, you're supposed to be telling me everything. So,
exactly. Like, that's the function here. I interview, you tell.
You think you know everything. Well, not. If you haven't told me, then go ahead.
If I knew everything, why are we talking?
Yeah. So, yeah, that one was a little weird to me.
Yeah. How that one was. I mean, I liked the style of doing the interviews, though.
I just felt like if they did them not all together in the truck.
Yeah.
Like, if it was kind of how Morgan and John were interviewed, where they were just kind of separate, but they weren't separate.
Right.
It might have been better. Yeah, I think it would have been better than them all like sitting right next to each other the entire time.
But the way they...
Because she was even like, so what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. But so the way they edited the different people's recordings sounded like, or looked like they were separate.
Well, except you would always see the camera would go from one to the other.
No, I know, but I'm just saying they edited it in a way to make you think it was separate and that they were... independently speaking on their own.
Part of the thing that bothered me, because you knew they weren't, because they were all like right next to each other. So that.
What was your miss?
My miss was the really bad barrel paint job. That was
okay.
I had a hard time moving past that.
Is that
one.
It?
That's you it. Anything? That's it. Actually, I mean, I thought it was a good episode. It was a good episode. Okay. It wasn't a great episode, but it was a good episode.
All right, we have a lot of listener comments again.
Joe Johnson said, 2 weeks now and I'm almost certain Madison is all the way dead.
Not just kind of dead, all the way dead.
All the way dead. Yeah.
All the way dead. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There's no lurking. I'm cool with it as long as Charlie got murked too when it's all revealed. Hashtag great season. I got to agree. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a great season.
Yeah, and I think that if Charlie doesn't get killed by the end of it, I think I'd be pissed.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to see. That maybe is what they want to see you get pissed.
Carol Blair said, getting tired of the time jumps. Just tell us or show us what happened. Did not like how they did the reveal of the lady as the friend gunslinger lost. Episode starting to get boring.
Really?
I liked that.
I did too. I actually did.
I thought it was a good delivery.
I did too. And I think it's going to be interesting to see why they got separated.
And I was so happy to see the gun show up.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And I liked how he was like, when he was, okay, one thing that we did not talk about, what I was going to say is I liked how he was like looking at the bullets and like going through the rounds to see what was there. But Morgan and John decide to stay back.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, what are they doing?
I think.
He's got to just take a cool down time.
Yeah, yeah. John. I think John just needed to be away from the situation a little bit and. Because he definitely still thinks that Lara or Naomi is still alive. He's not accepting the fact that she died. But I don't think he knows what to do with it. And I guess, and Al promises to come back and get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the weird part. Like, they drove how many hours to get to this point? And now they're going to have to drive how many hours back? And they expect him to come all the way back to get them?
Well, they're hoping to go in one direction there and one direction back.
Hell, for all we know, Kim, the rendezvous point is 2 miles away. Mm. We don't know.
It's very true. Anyways, I was glad Morgan stayed with him, though.
Me too.
Yes.
Emily Veltkamp said, they started gathering the guns out of the hole, talking about going to fight with the vultures, and Morgan was like, I just left crap like this. I'm actually enjoying the slow burn of this story. It's keeping me a lot more engaged this season than the past seasons. Also, who else didn't see John being a cop?
Yeah.
Which we discussed.
I certainly didn't.
Yeah. No. Sally and Zarillo said, I have a feeling Laura escaped from John. I'm afraid he's a creepy stalker. I'm a little worried about that myself. Also, I think Madison is just separated and presumed dead a la Andrea. I think Madison will show up with Laura and Naomi.
You know, that's a very real possibility. I'm still thinking Madison's dead, but you know what? It wouldn't shock me at all if that turned out to be the case.
Paige Vaughn said, I actually enjoyed the fact Naomi ends up being Laura. I'm interested to learn more about that and how she died. I'm still pretty convinced Madison is dead, but I also think it's a possibility the Vultures kidnapped her and she's with them. I'm still not sold on the Vulture storyline being different enough from the Savior, so I hope that changes soon. You know what? Me too. She goes on to say, I'm enjoying what they're doing visually this season, so far with the color changes between past and present and the video camera this episode. I do hope the pace picks up a little because I think this season is going a bit slow.
Let me ask you this. There's been clues as to what the episode has coming for it in the intros every time, but I didn't see it in this one. Did you see it?
No, but they, you know what I think is actually kind of cool with mm-hmm. what they're doing? What mm-hmm. I mean, the last one is very evident because they showed the blue flowers, right?
Right.
But it's the desert. They're in the desert, right?
Right.
And so the cool thing is that every intro is a different image of the desert, and it looks completely different. I think they're trying to show how different the desert is.
It could be, but
no matter what, you know, like the environment changes so much, even with such simple adjustments.
They did show what's going to happen in this episode.
What did they show in this one?
They showed the film glitching.
Oh, they did. That's right. They showed the film glitching. That's true.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's true. Nice pickup. I didn't catch that. I did catch the film glitching, but I didn't really put that together. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Cool. So they did.
All over everything I had to say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say, Stuart, just shut up.
You just weren't getting there.
No, that's cool. No, Thanks, Kim.
They did show that. They did show the glitching, which I attribute to them trying to hint at Al's filming.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's what we all attribute it to.
Wow. Jeez, y'all.
Pretty freaking obvious. All right, go ahead.
Ryan the Lion, at Hercules Handy from Twitter, said, love that John has been looking for Naomi. I'm not 100% sure Madison is dead or alive. I really don't know. At Fear of the Walking Dead has me dying to find out.
Good. Good.
We Heart TWD said, I definitely think it would be bad if they kill off Nick and Madison. I think if Madison went with them willingly in exchange for something. But I don't know. I think the diamond is gone and they are all that's left. They have everything they own on their backs. Tons of packs. And she wrote this last Friday before the episode started.
Well, yeah, you know,
so
who knows?
A bunch of stuff.
Maybe Madison is now in charge of that group. Maybe she...
Which group?
She's in charge of the Vultures now. Maybe she took over. Yeah, maybe she took over. Maybe she's gone governor.
That would be a twist.
Mm-hmm.
She was inviting them in,
mm-hmm.
which is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, you know, speaking
of
which.
And the fact that then he says, well, you know, you could join us. And she's like, oh, forget that. I'm not joining you.
Right.
I was like,
yeah, you just invited him to do the same.
You just invited them in.
You know, it's funny. There was one other hit that I really liked in it, and we didn't discuss it, is Mel gave us a little insight into his background and the fact mm-hmm. that it was his fault that the community he was with originally died.
And then you feel bad for him.
No.
That the people died, and then he turns it mm-hmm. into then he left them burned to death.
Right.
Yeah, that was...
Well, no, they were the only ones who escaped, and he said that they were. He heard them dying in the background. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting to get a little bit of a background on him and his brother and where their motivation is, because that's what I was trying to figure out is, you know, where are these guys coming from? I still don't see them as ranch hands. The outfits don't quite fit, but nonetheless, it is nice to finally get a little bit of background on those guys, where they might have been coming from.
Well, he was saying his family had a ranch or something. So
right.
Yeah, right. So, you know,
so whatever. Maybe he had a band in Austin or something like that.
Yeah, possibly he was the spoiled kid living on his parents' ranch.
Right.
And decided, okay, well, you know, we're going to hold out
here. Then why in the hell would the rest of the family listen to him?
Yeah.
Very true. And then he was the only one to escape. But again, when he says, well, when we were getting away, people were burning, mm-hmm. and you could hear him screaming. It's like, well, obviously they're still alive. And you kept running.
Yep.
So.
Well, I don't know. I didn't quite take it that way.
It's that's more, why I take it that way, Scott.
I know you do. I took it more as that they were the only ones able to escape alive. So.
Well, definitely made a point of saying that at the end.
Mm-hmm. So next week on Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 5, Laura, even though we know that name is not real anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. The arrival of a wounded visitor to John Dory's life forces him to change his ways.
So, what was he like before she came around?
I was going to say, to change his ways, that's interesting. What does that mean?
So maybe he did speak a little bit differently, act a little bit differently. Things were very different.
Maybe he's acting the way because he has a head injury.
Maybe she hit him over the head with something.
Yeah.
That would be funny, well, actually.
You could send us your theories at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at fearmepodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.